Welcome to the Undefined Podcast. I'm Jared Palmer.
And I'm Ken Wheeler.
On this week's episode, we're talking with Jason Palmer, product manager of web infrastructure at Spotify.
I love that I could be like, yo, Jay Palms, and fucking either of you could answer that. Jay Palms, wow. What up, kid? So you're a PM?
Mm-hmm.
So you run stand-ups and shit?
No. Have you read my blog post?
I have. That's why it's funny.
Yeah, we don't do stand-ups at all. I'm sort of fundamentally against stand-ups.
So what, I've read your post, but you know, for the folks listening who haven't, why?
I really hate meetings. I hate them. So I was an engineer most of the time that I was at Spotify. I still feel like I'm an engineer, even though I don't code full-time at Spotify anymore. I do most of my coding and open source stuff. But yeah, that's just sort of how I operated. I mean, I really didn't like having meetings. And I kind of felt like on a lot of the teams that I was on at Spotify and at other companies, it just sort of became stand-ups to me sort of felt like somebody checking in, right? And I wasn't always productive every single day. I still am not. And I I'd feel bad about that, or I'd feel like I kind of had to come up with something, or I had to rush to like get something done real quick. I would just much rather kind of get to a place where the team feels like I trust them 100% and that they don't need to be productive every single day at every single minute. If you're on my team, really, you're not going to feel that way.
God, I would love to be on your team. Not that I spend a crazy amount of time in stand-ups or anything, but I do fucking hate meetings.
Me too.
You know, I mean, obviously once in a while, you got to fucking sit down and work some shit out, right?
Yeah, of course.
Which, you know, has to happen. But have you ever been in one of these meetings where like you have absolutely nothing to contribute and it's just like two people talking for like 45 minutes and you're sitting there like, why the fuck am I on this meeting right now?
Yeah, I mean, so many meetings can be emails, right? I mean, I could go on for days about this, but, you know, meetings do need to happen, of course, but I would rather us be reactive about meetings and reactive about adding process, right? And that's kind of like, you know, if you read my blog post at the very end of it, after you've gotten through all of the swearing, the end of it is sort of where all the meat of it, of the article is. Where that's sort of what I recommend is that, you know, instead of falling into the trap of, feeling like you need to do daily stand-ups, you need to plan once a week, and you need to do retros once a week, and this and this and this, you know, maybe you do need that, but start with nothing, right? Start with absolutely no meetings, and then when something breaks down, now you be reactive to that and you add on something, right? And so what you're left with at that point is sort of, you know, you're only going to do what's absolutely necessary. And the rest of that time is up to you to be creative and to build things.
Nice. How do you feel about once a week stand-ups?
I mean, it's fine if you work that way. I think it's totally fine. I don't necessarily have an issue with it. Just, you know, I mean, that's a planning meeting at the end of the day, right?
Yeah, I mean, I have once a week stand-ups right now, and I think that's okay. It doesn't necessarily, but it's good. You know, it's good to get everybody on the same thing, and it kind of holds you like a little bit accountable.
Yeah,
like if it was every single day, I'd be like, "Give me." Well, first of all, if it's every single day, like I like to work in a way that's kind of like free, you know, where
exactly.
Like you know, if I need to go, I don't know, like take a shit or go eat something or do whatever, like I can do that. Like when you have like a stand-up, like I was doing this thing one time when I had like two or three stand-ups a day and it was crimping the fuck out of my style. I was like, yo, like
that's horrible, man.
Yeah, you're like and it's like at these set times and I'm like, oh shit, well, you know, I can't get too far into this feature because I have to go to this, or you know, sorry, we can't go out to lunch today, boys, I have this fucking daily thing I need to do.
Like, yeah, see, I don't like that at all. I hate that.
Yeah.
I like the philosophy of like maker schedules and manager schedules, making sure that everybody has enough maker time where they're just totally uninterrupted. That's been super useful. But to your point, Ken, like even if I have like a doctor's appointment, I just know like I'm not doing shit that afternoon. It's over. And meetings are just as bad as doctor's appointments when it comes to flow in my book. I mean, in my mind. So I have a question for you, Jason.
Go for it.
If you're in a terrible meeting, what do you do?
I mean, I'm at a point now where, I could just get up and go, and you know, people aren't going to usually react to that very much. And sometimes that'll happen for sure. But sometimes I just stick it out. But yeah, I don't see any problem with getting up and leaving, right? Like, you know, either you say you got to go to another meeting, or you know, you just say like I got something else going on. And usually, folks are going to react just fine to that.
I usually just fucking dip. I turn it off and I'm like, sorry, something happened to the connection there. I can't get back on. You guys just let me know how it went.
Yeah, I've done that before.
You know, and I'm like, you know, I go do something that's like infinitely more productive with my time. Do you subscribe to that whole thing where it's like the cost of the meeting is the sum of the hourly rate of every single person attending?
Oh, yeah, for sure. There was a tweet the other day that I just loved so much. And I can't remember who said it, but it was basically, you know, that why is it that, you know, a typical developer has to ask permission for, you know, to buy a $50 book. But anyone at the company at any point in time can call an hour-long meeting that would cost $10,000.
It's crazy when you think about the real cost of meetings, isn't it?
Yeah. So for me, at least insofar as process is concerned, I like to just give the team complete creative freedom, right? That's what I always wanted as a developer on a team. And I hope that that's what I give.
Has anybody ever fucked
And so
up?
Far, I mean, you know, we've been a team now, at least WebInfra has been a team for a year and a half. And we're kicking so much ass, just, you know, all of the deliverables are being hit and we're developing things that I feel like, you know, I could tell you about three or four things that we've developed as a team that probably had we had stand up and, you know, people would say, well, what are you working on today? Oh, that's not the highest priority thing. Okay, maybe focus on this, right? We wouldn't have even made those things, right? And that's kind of like, I wish that more teams would adopt what we do.
So have you ever given anybody that freedom and they fucked it up?
No, not yet. But I mean, that's what I'm saying. If that were to happen, you know, if we start to sort of like not hit our goals or, you know, if things get out of control in some way or another, you know, then we talk about it. Then we add process, right? I mean, you know, we're not like this super strict organization, you know, so.
I've noticed that like when somebody, like as long as they're not a dick, if you give them a certain amount of freedom or responsibility that they're not accustomed to, they usually rise to the occasion, which mm-hmm. makes me hopeful for the whole thing. I've maybe had somebody
start with
like
trust.
Twice, maybe, ever.
To your point, Ken, there are a lot of engineers that you just say, yo, go take Hill A, and they'll go figure out how to take and, you know, do whatever. But there's some people that need micromanagement. I've seen that too. So like, how do you deal with that? How do you deal with managing that, Jason?
So in my experience, and this is going to be subjective, obviously, but like, I think it's more kind of like junior or maybe even mid-level developers, like people that haven't been doing this for years and years and don't have kind of that confidence of being able to be, you know, to deliver on whatever it is that they're asked to deliver, right? I think in those situations, you know, or if you're brand new to a company and you kind of want to get to know how everybody operates, you know, but like maybe in that case, you might want to stand up. You might want, you know, to kind of get to know the team and get into the flow of things or whatever it may be, right? But we actually, like recently we added like a junior person to my team. And so far we've been basically like all pretty senior folks that have been at Spotify for a long, long time. You know, so everybody that's on the team, you know, was pretty senior. And recently we added a very junior engineer to the team. And it's been fantastic. I mean, he's done amazing work, and we still don't have stand up. So like, you know, even in that situation, kind of by my own logic, it still worked. I kind of thought that, you know, adding this new person onto the team, we might kind of require stand up at a certain point, like things might break down. Hasn't broken down at all. It's been the exact opposite.
You know, Ken, you and I both have done client work or worked in client services. And do you find a big difference, and also I worked on product teams too, do you find that organizationally there are like difference between client services teams or teams that are working on client services and teams that are working on product?
Like, yeah, like most of the time when you're working with a client, there's always like a fucking client mole in there. Like either you're directly project managed by the client's people or, you know, there's somebody who's kind of just like checking in, if not like their own engineers. So, yeah, I think like, you know, when you're working for a client and it's not your thing, you lack context, right? So you come in and like you might not have, you know, I'm sitting here, I have point A to point B, which is without context, a lot smaller than the point A to point B that you might see as a product engineer, right? Your point A to point B is much more macroscopic when you're actually a part of that business or product or fucking idea. You know, you see the bigger picture, whereas in client work, a lot of the time, like They're like, hey, we need you to fucking build a shopping cart. And I'm like, you know, my point A is no shopping cart. My point B is a fucking shopping cart. So.
And also, like, I also found too that communication and work tends to be more synchronous with clients, right? Because like a request can come in at any time, or you're responding to some feedback, or you're responding to like a help desk. So Jason, a question for you, is your goal like to be completely asynchronous, or having synchronous chat and Slack and all that stuff open all the time is helpful?
Everybody has a different opinion. I mean, Slack personally doesn't bother me. I have it configured where it's not making any sounds, and it's not sort of like popping up in front of me when somebody messages me, but I still can kind of know when I have a message, right? So at least for me, it's not like bothersome in any way. Other people feel very different. Like, you know, we have some Slack bots that will be out there that will tell you if like your pull request is broken and different things like that. And, you know, we've definitely, like, I've been on teams that develop those things, and we've gotten feedback from like dozens of people that were like, turn this shit off, right? And so I don't know. I mean, it doesn't bother me at all. I find it to be really helpful for the most part, you know, because especially we're broken up into multiple offices, right? In particular, you know, the New York office that I work out of, and then we got the big Stockholm office. Now we have a big office in Boston and London as well. And so being on different time zones, I mean, Slack is crucial, right? And so just reading back in some of the chats that people are having at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, because that's when they start work at Stockholm, you know, our time, it's useful for me. I get to learn a lot about what they're doing.
Yes. So Ken, what's your take on Slack? Are you pro Slack or against Slack? Or you don't give a fuck?
I don't know. I fucking think it's kind of annoying. But then again, like I like Slack more than I like email. I fucking hate email.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. Email is the worst.
I hate email. So I wish everybody just Twitter DM'd me. If anybody's listening to this, if you ever want to get in contact with me, don't fucking email me, because you're never going to get a reply. You Twitter DM me, I'll reply in 3 seconds. That's how it goes. I fucking hate email. Slack, here's my take on Slack. My work Slack, I'm fine with, right? Because it's, you know, I'm on a work computer. It's the only Slack on there. I'm in private rooms. We're discussing the product. We're doing, you know, oh, this thing's fucked up.
Yeah, I'm like that too.
You know, go fix it, right? And, you know, I'm happy to go do that. But like this whole thing where you have like fucking 15 Slacks in one Slack app, and you know, you're getting mentioned, like, you know, I'm sitting there like working, and like you get like a mention, no. Somebody's like, hey, fucking this and that. And I'm like one of those inbox zero guys, so I have to go check it. So it turns the fucking little badge off.
You're an inbox zero?
Yeah. Gosh. Well, no. I hate badges. Oh, yeah. I hate badges so much.
I have 32,000 unread emails. Fuck with me.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, I mean, oh God, dude. Did you guys use Inbox?
I did, and then I stopped.
Dude, I fucking love Inbox, and I can't believe they murdered it, because Gmail is a piece of shit.
Dude, and also they murdered, like, what was that thing? Slack bought Astro, like the only thing that was going to beat Slack or something, like the
really?
Inbox that was like good. Yeah, they took like the Inbox competitor. What was it called? I think it was called Astro. Anyways, they bought that shit, and they were like, shut it down.
God, do I fucking hate Gmail.
Yeah, we tried this thing, Twist, didn't work. I don't know. We use Slack for like a lot of logging and shit. Like, we do log a ton of shit to Slack. Like, we also deploy apps from Slack and stuff too sometimes.
You deploy with Slack?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, dude, there's all kinds of bots for that.
Really?
Shit.
What's that look like?
/ Palmer deploy thing to environment, and it fucking does it.
So how come you're not continuously deploying?
Because on some apps we are. On some apps, we don't. It really depends. On some client apps, we don't continuous deploy because we really need to do like manual QA and shit.
You need to do it, or you feel like you need to do it?
For different.
I'm grilling this guy. We're going to get to the
bottom
of this.
It really depends. Could we have gone continuous with certain clients? Absolutely. Would it have made life like easier in some situations? Don't know. There are definitely some times whereby we want to release a ton of shit at once, and we don't want big ass branches. And yeah, we have feature flags and stuff, and we like totally can deploy dead code and stuff. But it was pretty useful to not have it be exactly we would continuous deploy to staging, basically.
That's cool. So are you able to also roll back with Slack, or is it just deploying
the
latest?
We could have set some shit up like that, but like we don't really believe in rollbacks. So
Palmer deploy.
Oh, interesting.
Dude, are you like a fucking B-grade Bruce Wayne?
Maybe. Maybe. You don't even know. No, so it's great. But also I can deploy. It's like great to like be able to deploy from your phone and shit. It's kind of cool.
Whoa, that's crazy.
Yeah. But then this newest project that we're working on, we just do continuous deployment.
There was somebody that did a hack project, I want to say 4 or 5 years ago, where they would deploy their backend service at Spotify using Minecraft. So they would log in and actually just like type a console command and it would deploy their stuff. That
I
was
thought it
would
be
fun.
So much cooler if they did like a redstone circuit to deploy.
I guess they could have, right? I mean,
I've seen some shit where like you do like an Amazon like button or push to deploy, literally push a button to deploy.
Did I just out myself as a fucking nerd?
Yeah, you did.
Fuck.
Dude, everybody's known it. It's
yeah,
fine.
Okay, yeah, I guess it's common knowledge.
You're listening to the Undefined Podcast. We're chatting with Jason Palmer, product manager of web infrastructure at Spotify.
So I got to know, when the fuck am I going to get a visualizer in Spotify?
We used to have it, right? Do you remember when we had it for desktop at all?
It was an Easter egg, right?
God, I don't know if it was an Easter egg, but I mean, it was definitely there. Like, I don't actually know like what parts of it were, available to the public or whatever, but I know for a long time, like we wrote a bunch of hacks on top of it. Like people ported over, you know, the old Winamp visualizers, got those working. I remember one person did a hack where they built like a little helicopter game. So like as the music was playing and the bars, the audio was kind of going up and down, you'd kind of have to navigate that with this helicopter thing.
Dope. You know what I do appreciate cool. so much though? Have you seen on Rap Caviar, like when you play like Migos or some shit, it'll play like a fucking GIF. Like it has that GIF.
Oh,
like
it's
that
so
fucking
cool
GIF.
Now.
Like that shit is sick. I'll give you that.
Whatever you guys have done with the new player UI with the video is so cool.
Yeah, it does look cool. Awesome. I noticed that the
that
other
shit
day.
Is, ooh. Dude, it's so dope. There's like this little kid doing this little shimmy dance when fucking Migos was playing. Dude, I'm like, yo, this is the shit. But like, I wish like, I don't know. I don't know about you guys, how old you guys are or what you were into, but I remember like half my childhood is being high as shit. With the Winamp visualizer just fucking full screened in a living room and shit, like listening to Cypress Hill or whatever the fuck we were listening to.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's sort of what got me into programming in a way is my first kind of project. So I learned how to program when I went to college. And I didn't really know much of anything. I just played video games and things up until then. And I built computers, but I didn't know how to program. And the first kind of like project that I thought was fun with programming was I was building an MP3 player. So this is sort of like before iTunes was out and around the time that Winamp was there. And I just spent like 2 years and I built this thing and I built it in Visual Basic 6.0 and I loved it. I loved every minute of me working on that and it was beautiful.
Dude, we should name this the Visual Basic podcast. It comes up every episode.
Yeah, because it was the shit, dude. And it, like if you're a little bit of an OG, then
it was amazing.
Obviously use it. Like.
The UI builder, I still have never found anything
even come close
that's like it, right? I mean, I just found it amazing. Like you would drag and drop a button onto the screen and then you double click the button and now you're in the code on the on click method, right? I mean, that was just amazing and nothing has topped that.
Well, Flash was similar.
I never got into Flash.
Flash was pretty similar, but not exactly the same potato, but it was it was very similar kind of scenario where you would draw out a button and double click it and you'd be in the code. But like outside of that, I have not seen that pattern continue to be there, right? It's either like all or nothing. It's like, you know, like Webflow and you have your properties mm-hmm. panel. Or you're just fucking, you know, Emacs dickhead command lining it. Like there's no in between where you get like a code window that's attached to a UI element that you drew.
Yeah, Framer is trying it.
Did we just make $1 billion?
I think we just made $4 billion easily.
My God. So, Jason, you've been getting swole, huh?
Somewhat. I think. I hope so.
Did you get swole today?
No. Today's my day off. I got to do squats tomorrow.
So I promised myself that I would go to CrossFit every single day this week.
You know what they say about CrossFit?
Oh, man.
Every day.
Every day. Yeah, that's crazy.
I left there to come here. And it fucking – exercising sucks.
It does suck.
You know, like I like casually lifting, but like
I remember I did CrossFit like back in like high school, and I remember the one thing that was so fucking brutal. What are they, these lunge things where you keep your heel on the ground? I don't know what they're called, but oh my God, we had to do them all up, and I remember just doing them all up and down this fucking hill. Ugh.
Yeah, I haven't gotten hurt. Not too bad at least. I mean,
And you're lucky.
A lot of people end up getting hurt. Like, so the one that I go to isn't like official CrossFit. So it's not like all like the snatches and shit like that. All that stuff is replaced with like kettlebell kind of stuff. So it's kind of like a mixed curriculum. So I guess it's probably like a little bit less injury prone, probably the same intensity, but you know, we still do bars. There's still like deadlifts and squats and bench press and shit, but like none of the fancy Olympic stuff, if that makes sense. What are you doing, Jason?
I've been seeing a trainer since September, something like that. And I kind of, you know, like I had done weightlifting in high school and kind of had a couple of bouts of it over the years, you know, when I feel motivated. But so I felt like I knew a thing or two, but I was the typical person that would never do like legs or anything like that. I would just like go in, do bench, do curls, you know, go home. And so I kind of, when I got a trainer in September, I just sort of wanted to reset all of that, you know, just like tell this person to make a workout for me and I'm just going to do every last fucking thing they tell me to do. And I've been going strong. And the routine that he likes is basically barbell everything, right? So the four main lifts, we're doing deadlifts, bench, strict press, squat, right? Everything with a barbell. And we're doing, you know, a bunch of accessory works and things like that. But it's always going to be with, you know, either a barbell or it's going to be dumbbells. And so, you know, you're having to balance yourself. And, you know, I love it, man. It's just, I find it to be really fun and kind of, you know, he takes care of like setting the goals, you know, so he knows all the weights that I'm capable of doing. And he's always kind of like pushing the boundaries, right? So like, if I was doing things on my own, I might increase the weight, you know, once every 2 weeks or something like that. I would just kind of go in, get a sweat and go home. But at least with this guy, it's really cool. It's, you know, he pushes me way further than I would normally push myself. So I've kind of gotten into that routine. I like it.
Are you doing cardio at all?
Yeah, I do. I mean, so I mostly do it for warming up, but, now I'm trying to drop a couple of pounds before I have to give a talk in May.
Where are you talking?
Well, I'm doing a talk at Spotify, but it's in, you know, it's in front of a few hundred people or whatever. I did the same thing last year. Yeah, I actually, so on the topic of talks, I actually submitted a talk. I was going to try to speak at some conferences in 2019. I haven't really done very much of that at all. And that's sort of a goal of mine in 2019. So I submitted a talk to AssertJS. I don't know if you heard of that. It's sort of like a testing JavaScript conference.
Assert, you better accept that shit.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I hope so, man. Yeah, I submitted a talk all about test flakiness. I'll talk about that for days. And I don't feel like a whole lot of people are talking about it very much.
You mean that unit tests are stupid unless it's like actually required? But I mean, most of the time they're stupid.
Oh, man.
Like we
I thought we were friends. Like we got the same last name. So do you kind of follow the Kent Dodds model, like the testing trophy? Have you heard of that?
No. I don't know what it is.
So it sounds kind of like what you're talking about, right? So like the typical testing pyramid that most people have heard about, if you look into testing, is, you know, this typical idea that you should have tons of unit tests, a whole bunch of integration tests, but less, and then very few end-to-end tests, right? And for the most part, like that works. That'll get you pretty far. But kind of what you notice quite often is that, and this is what Kent has gone into recently and talked about a lot, is that when people start writing unit tests, quite often they're writing them and they're testing the implementation, right? They're like a white box or a gray box test is sort of the term for it, right? It's sort of a place where you have this test and you can't change the code. The code is brittle and the code will break. Like you make a change to the code and it's going to break that unit test, right? And so how valuable is that to you? And so what he suggests and what I kind of subscribe to as well is that he calls it the testing trophy. So it's kind of at the bottom is static analysis, like linting, like very fast things that should, you know, just take care of itself. And then you have relatively few unit tests, and then you have a whole lot of integration tests. And then again, you have very few end-to-end tests, right? So his sweet spot is that integration testing area. And I tend to fully agree with that. The problem with end-to-end tests, you know, tests that are doing a whole lot of stuff, right? You know, like you're making a request to your user system and your database and downloading assets from CDN and all that stuff that could potentially go wrong or take a long time, especially in a CI environment at scale, those can become problematic, right? Even the best test will be flaky, right? And Cypress helps with that. It at least sort of helps you like write tests, write asynchronous tests responsibly, right? You're at least sort of asserting at the right time. You're kind of in a place where you can say, okay, we'll wait for this button to show up and then click it, right? And, like Cypress does that stuff for you, which is fantastic.
Sure. It's just super flaky sometimes too. Like, especially if you do like payments or anything, it's like you can't really, and also it doesn't really scale. It scales linearly.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we're spinning up completely like cloned versions of everything, it doesn't like, it's not going to scale past the point because it's really hard to parallelize. Mm-hmm. So like we definitely hit that, but yeah, I would say I subscribe to that. So yeah, we're getting there. I don't, Ken, what's your hot take on this? Like,
tell me more about Kent Dodd's sweet spot.
we should
let's talk about
that.
Kent's sweet spot.
Yeah. No. Right, so.
And his trophy.
You know, I mean, to be completely honest with you guys, most of the fucking time, like the vast majority of time, I don't even get the opportunity to write tests. You know, debt is not part of the plan. But when I do, I do like to unit test certain critical things, and I rely heavily on end-to-end testing, which covers most of it. But then again, I mean, I use types. Like, if I didn't use types, yeah, use types. Test the shit out of mm-hmm. fucking everything.
Of course. Yeah, but who doesn't use types? You guys use TypeScript as Spotify?
Yeah, we do. We sort of have been introducing it a lot, and my team uses it pretty heavily.
Yeah, so Ken, like, you use types. Like,
yeah.
Just not as much.
Everything's
shit to
typed.
Test.
So it's like, you know, what I'm testing for the most part is that failures are handled gracefully. And that, right. You know, it's just kind of doing what I'm expecting it to do. But, like, you know, I'm not sitting there validating shit on type. That's already taken care of. You know, my types
more.
Could be stricter, but if they were stricter, I would probably need less tests.
Yeah. We're pretty strict about types.
I know you are. You guys are fucking type maniacs.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. It's evolved over time. As the team has gotten better at TypeScript, our shit's gotten way more like badass and like more like inference badass when I say badass.
You know, like I was helping a buddy out, right? He's going around trying to, interview at some places and shit. And like, you know, I guess he hadn't done TypeScript. So he's like, yeah, can you teach me TypeScript? So I sat him down. Right. And I showed like, you know, basic typing, right. Like typing arguments for like primitive types. And then I showed like generics and interfaces. And I mean, there's a couple things beyond that, but there's not much beyond that. Like, it's really not that fucking hard. It's just the nomenclature and the error messages is how I explained it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not, that's what's
like
so
people see
about
the
it.
Generic like T and they're like, what the fuck is this? Right. And like, not a lot of places actually explain like, hey, this is just like a fucking variable for what this is going to be. Right. It's a pass through. Right. But like, you know, once you explain that to somebody, they're like, oh, like that was really scary. These fucking angle brackets with this T shit. Like, you see a lot of this like shit that is not necessarily functional in any which way, like putting an I before interface or putting a T for
that.
Generics.
I fucking hate
and, you
that.
Know, it's like, it's kind of like patterns that have evolved, but they're nowhere. And that's not like a set in stone thing. Like, if you fucking use a fucking 8 equals D for the fucking generic. Well, I guess you can't use an 8 equals D. It looks
you can't
big,
use an 8.
But,
it yeah. can't start with
but,
it. Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you use a fucking another character than fucking T or even a
pen
word,
15.
Pen 15 club, it'll still work.
Of course
you know
it will.
What I mean?
It's
but
great.
Like, you know, people what, see yeah, the T and yeah. I don't think anywhere it's necessarily adequately explained that that could be anything other than a T. It's just fucking people put T because somebody else put T. You know, it's like, hey, I see this guy fucking wearing his hat sideways. I should wear my hat sideways. That kind of thing. So yeah, there's like gaps yeah. in like the explanation of it, which I think
if you've ever read like the Redux types,
fuck no,
that shit is hard to follow.
Like, I stopped using Redux before I started using types much.
Like, if you want to like learn some shit about TypeScript, go read some Redux types. Yeah. Ken, like, there's like 3 things and 6 patterns you need to know. And
I think end-to-end tests are sort of the natural way of testing, right? I mean, you know, if they were stable and if they were fast, which they're neither of those, then that's the only test that I would
that's
write
a quote
probably,
of the day.
Right? The fact that they're not is sort of a problem that I've always wanted to try to solve.
Cypress is pretty cool.
Cypress is
the
cool.
Shit out of that.
I'm going to say this, like, yo, we don't pay for the dashboard. We just like upload the shit to an S3 bucket. We just upload the recording soon as three bucket. We use the library.
Just admit that on air. It's like,
yeah, dude, whatever.
No, it's a good tool.
It's like Juicero, dude. You don't have to buy the juice press. You just fucking squeeze the juice. Like you just like we could do this with Puppeteer too. You don't need the dashboards. Upload that shit to S3, and then we wrote a Danger.js thing to make a comment on GitHub with all the links to the S3 files, so you can download them.
We should move on to picks.
All right, let's wrap this up. So picks. Every week we shout out to our favorite shit. So Ken, you got some stuff?
So throughout the length of this podcast, I've been slowly and deliberately swilling a full-size bottle of vodka that was in the freezer prior.
Nice.
I just got back from CrossFit, and ooh, this is what you do. So I got this vodka. It was kind of cheap.
This is how he doesn't get injured.
How can we?
It's actually really smooth. It's called Weeborawa vodka. Apparently, it's like the highest exported vodka from Poland. But I'm really enjoying it. I'm not really a vodka guy, but I'm trying not to be a fat guy, so I'm doing the vodka thing, and it's pretty smooth. The other thing that I would recommend is I got a Native Instruments machine, which is like a MIDI drum pad kind of thing, and I have been having a fucking blast with this thing. Gee willikers.
Nice.
Man, if you want to make some music, get one of these fucking things, and you can do some crazy-ass shit if you learn it. That's all for my picks. What about you, Jared? You got some fucking picks?
I got some fucking picks. So it was my birthday yesterday.
Woo!
And we went out to Nobu in New York. Super nice Japanese restaurant. That's pick one. Pick two for the week is going to be this desk that I just got. I got the Jarvis desk.
Oh, nice.
Shit is fucking sweet. It adjusts so I can make space for my boners.
Does it have a little baby dick holder?
Is that one of those standing desks? Yeah, yeah, like you can raise and lower?
It has like a little slot that the baby dick fits into?
That's exactly right.
Magnificent. Jay Palms, you got some picks?
The other J Palm, right. Yeah, I didn't think about any picks, but my sort of ongoing ones are going to be Jest. Woo! For sure. Check out Jest. It's the best test runner in the world. My other pick, so I don't play video games too much, but I got a Switch recently, and I started playing this game called Xenoblade 2, which I'm really into. Loving that.
I'm going to have to give that shit a go.
What do you think of Stadia? The Google thing.
I don't know. That's sort of like the online gaming thing, right? Like where sort of the GPU is in the cloud. Yeah. Is that the idea? I think it's a cool idea. We'll have to see what latency looks like. But if everyone uses it and everyone has the same latency, it could work.
Can I do a retroactive pick?
Yeah.
Okay. So speaking of gaming, right? So I drink like a lot of coffee, like 9 cups a day. So I wanted to like switch that out.
You drink 9 cups a day?
So
that cannot be
no,
good.
No, it can't be. So I wanted to switch it out with a little bit of something else, right? So I was looking into energy drinks and shit, and there is this shit that is the professional energy drink of esports, and it's called G Fuel. Holy shit. I think I had 2 cups of coffee today and like 2 G Fuels, and that shit is absolute crack cocaine. I cannot recommend that enough if you just want to get fucking pumped.
Just take Adderall.
I got flagged for like drug seeking behavior, so I don't know.
Okay. I'm just saying, like, at that point, like,
yeah. No. If I had a steady stream of Adderall, I'd be taking the shit. But you know, not the case. And then like, if you take modafinil, your piss starts smelling all fucking weird and gets all squirrely and shit. Like this is like caffeine and taurine.
This is just piss green.
Yeah. It's a pretty good setup. You know, I wonder what would happen if you mix it with vodka. Shit would probably get lit as fuck. Dude, I have vodka and I'll be fucking.
Only one way, to
find out. And it sounds like a
people make
party,
like eggs with that shit.
What? Yeah.
They make eggs with vodka
with
or eggs with
drink,
this energy
the powder
drink?
Into scrambled eggs. I swear to fucking God, fuck dude, out. I saw it.
Is it like.
That sounds horrible. What are
they all different
like?
Flavors. I got the one, it's called like Sour Blue Chug Rug. It's pretty sick.
It sounds like half of a Pornhub video.
title. Yeah, yeah. Like I never really had much respect for esports because it's not fucking sports. But like,
whoa.
You know, like I think I'm starting to come around a little bit. Like, you know, if you could just hang out and shit and like drink this energy drink all day long and talk shit on a headset, like, what's better than that?
I don't know, man.
Does it help? Does yeah, it help
dude,
you code?
Yeah, dude, I code.
Are you a better coder?
Off. Yeah, dude, I drank that shit. I'm fucking Neo in the Matrix. It's magnetic. I'm telling you, you gotta try this shit. It's really good.
I know Kung Fu.
I know TypeScript.
Yeah, exactly. It's great. Great fucking movie, yeah. By the way. Great fucking movie.
Great movie.
Fucking awesome movie.
Yeah, two and three, one, not so much, one but solid one, fucking yeah, that's
film.
Where it's at.
Solid, absolutely. Solid great voice.
I gotta go eat some crock pot chicken.
Yeah. What else are you cooking this week?
Me? I had a fucking ribeye steak. Oh man, dude, I had this ribeye steak this afternoon. I fucking I put salt, pepper, chili powder, garlic, and onion salt on this motherfucker. And then I seared it. And then I put it in the oven with Parmesan and mozzarella cheese on top of that shit.
Dude, we should do a cooking
yeah,
podcast.
We should, man. Yo, this steak fucked.
Fuck yeah.
Oh my god.
All right, on that note, thanks, Jason. That was awesome.
Yeah, thanks for coming by.
Yeah, thank you both.
Thanks for coming by.
It was awesome.
Jason, where can people follow you?
Oh, I'm on Twitter. It's PalmerJ3, and GitHub's the same.
I love you, J-Palms.
Love you too, buddy.
Stay fucking tuned.
That's our show. Thanks so much for listening. As always, for the latest updates, follow us on Twitter at TheUndefined.io or check out our corner of the internet at Undefined.fm. For the Undefined podcast, I'm Jared Palmer. He's Ken Wheeler, and we'll see you next time.